Turn, if you will, in your Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 5. We're talking about graveyard dead. Mark chapter 5. Then they came to the other side of the sea of the country of the Gadarenes, and when they had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And we've heard about this demon-possessed man many times in our studies, in our Bibles. There's three individuals in the Bible. In chapter 5, Mark refers to as the incurables, we think sometimes. It's the demonic man, the diseased daughter, and the dead child. But friends, when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, he takes the things that seem to be impossible and makes them clean. Jesus never had a lost case, never was stumped by any situation that he came to. He always had an answer. Reminds me of the young doctor who started open to practice in town, and he was really nervous. A guy comes in, and he looks at him, and he said, Doc, what's wrong with me? Well, the doctor, he really didn't know exactly, so he said, well, let me ask you something. Have you had this before? He said, oh, yeah. And he said, well, you got it again. Well, you know, praise the Lord, Jesus never had to wonder. He always knew what the solution was. Well, here's the demon-possessed man with an unclean spirit in him, and he dwelt among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Lord, speak to our hearts now, and we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Now, chapter 4 of Mark, he closes with the calming of the storm. Even the waves and the waters obeyed Jesus. And all the miracles of the calming of the storm is the soul of a man who needs calming. He needs peace. This man is possessed by a demon, and Jesus always has the words to meet our needs, no matter what they may be. First, I want you to look at a miserable soul. He is miserable because what? One, he is lost. He's miserable because he's lost. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save those which are lost. That's his words. And this man is tormented. He's insane, and he's not himself. On the outside or the inside, he would be a good candidate for an insane asylum. And by the way, I think a person that is lost, it's a form of insanity, spiritual insanity. They do not know what they're doing. They're out of their mind. And after verse 15, the Lord has performed a miracle, and this man is in his right mind then. Jesus has just cured this man. Now notice on down, I'm not going to read all, but notice in verse 18, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done to you and how he has compassion on you. Jesus Christ always had compassion for people. He always did things for people. He loved people. Now, he didn't love the sin, but he loved the sinner. And here's a case of a demon possession of the devil. Do you believe that? I certainly do. When we were in Africa, we met some people that demon-possessed people. They were worshipers of the devil and witch doctors and things like that. And they didn't want anything to do with us. And they threw powder on us. They did all kinds of things to get rid of us. They didn't want God mentioned around them. And in 1 Peter 5:8, Jesus says, "Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Folks, we need to be aware that the devil is a real thing. The devil is real. We got the idea that he's a little man in a red suit with a pitchfork. Well, that's not the case. I couldn't help think about the seniors going to the Passion. No, it's the Promise. Years ago, we went over there, and I was watching it with them. And the old devil, I hate to tell you, but I want you to watch. The old devil is in the scene. Everywhere Jesus is, the devil is close by, and he's listening. And he's always trying to stir up trouble. You watch for that. It's very interesting. He's real. He's very deceptive in his way. And he will deceive you. He will lead you astray. But I think we need to be aware that the devil is there, seeking whom he may devour. And he's real, and we should be looking for his deceptive devices that throws us off, gets us away or from God. He can't take our soul if we're saved, but he can sure ruin your testimony. And he would love to ruin your testimony. Well, God made the human heart to be occupied. It's to be filled. And our life will be filled with God, or we'll be filled with the devil. And he will step in and use us, try to ruin our life. He's did this man here. And here's a case of a demon-possessed man. He is miserable. And we ought to watch out what we do when we're around a demon possession. We don't understand how strong they are. But in Africa, once again, they warned us that unless you know what you're doing, you do not try to cast those demons out of that person, or they'll whip you one way and up and down the other. And we watched a preacher. It's very interesting. We sat back and watched several of their preachers and their people praying over this demon-possessed lady. We sat there most of the day. Were you there when we sat there and watched that? Never did get that woman out of her, that devil out of her, did it? But man, I tell you, that was a weird thing. I never will forget that. But anyhow, the person that's filled with the devil is a miserable person. He's a demon-possessed person. Sin has been around for a long time, and it causes people to be so violent in their life when they're possessed by this evil spirit. When we went to Haiti, Haiti was one of black magic, a lot of voodoo when we were there. And we went on Mardi Gras. And I don't know why we went that weekend, but it was Mardi Gras weekend. And there, they're so evil. You can pay people $50 and they will kill your enemy for you. And it's just, people are violent. And that's because they're possessed and they let the devil ruin their life. I believe with all my heart what we see today in many of our situations when We see kids murdered and things like this. It's just beyond the normal, you know. And we're experiencing that in our country today. Immorality is at all-time high. All we have to look at is the drunkenness that we see that's happening today, and the drug addictions that are happening today, and the obscenities in our movies, and the pornography that's going on the airways. You didn't see that in the 60s and 70s like you do today. And the violence in our homes, it's grown and growing. It's because we're pulling away from God. And when you vacate God out of your families and out of your life, then the old devil fills that void with all kinds. And these forces are at work in our families, and they're real. And it's beyond the realm of humans in our society. We just don't know how to deal with it. And it's very bad. But here is a man that's demon-possessed. He's dead spiritually. He's living in the tombs. And Jesus speaks to him, and he comes there, and he calls himself Legion. A Roman legion consisted of over 1,000 men. So he's saying, I have the troops of Satan in my life, and they're trampling his soul, and they're trampling his heart. And they're a terror to this man. He's found in the tombs, cutting himself, crying at night. Now, who in the right mind would live in tombs, in the graveyard? No one. But he's under control of the devil. And he is a dead man. He's a lost man, and he's a dead man spiritually. Now, someone would say, well, he's walking around. How can he be dead, preacher? Well, verse 3 says, he had his dwelling among the tombs. Listen, nobody lives in the spiritual realm with Christ living in the tombs, folks. He's graveyard dead. The graveyard is not a place for people to live. It's a place that we bury our dead. And here is a man that's living in the graveyard. And he's not dead physically, but he is dead spiritually. And the Bible mentions several kinds of death. There's physical death. We all see that day after day, a separation of the soul and the body. There's the second death we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning. That's separation from our soul from God for all eternity. There's a spiritual death. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. And the Bible says the wages of that sin is death. And people all around are walking around physically, but you know what? They're dead spiritually. And we have people in our churches sitting under preaching week after week after week who's believed the lies of Satan, who are dead spiritually. Their life is empty. They have no joy in their life. You see, Christ brings us joy. I don't know about you, but I enjoy coming to church, seeing our people, visiting, shaking hands, whatever. You know, I enjoy that. I enjoy, even if I wasn't a preacher, I'd be here in church. I just enjoy going and fellowshipping with other Christians. When you're away from that, you miss that. And maybe there's someone here tonight that, like this man, your life is empty, your life is lonely, and you need to be a brand new person. And Jesus is the only one that can bring you to life. He's the only one. You can do things. You can fill your life with things. That's what normally we try to do, don't we? Oh, if I can just stay busy doing this, I can stay busy doing that. If I can get friends around me. But listen, we can't live our lives and be happy just trying to fill it, because sooner or later, all those things are empty. We must know the joy of Jesus Christ. This man's not only a dead man, lost, he's a defeated man. You see, no chains could hold him. He just broke them like all get-outs. All the restraints were off his life. And we are living in a society today that's like this. All restraints, there's no restraints anymore on our life. They say, well, if it makes you feel good, well, go ahead. Life is short. Live it to the fullest. And we're living in our society with no restraints. And with no restraints, we have no morals, no ethics about us, and no consideration of other people. No consideration of other people. And folks, let me tell you something. I see this happen. We see this happen a lot. And I notice this happens a lot in Dallas. I've often thought about it. When they come on television and you have a hit and run, you hit a human being and then you keep driving. I've often thought, how in the world can somebody do that? That's a human being they hit. Why not stop and check on them? It may be that they're dead, but why keep driving? It's because they give no consideration to life. They're more worried about themselves than they are somebody else. And this is the way this man was. He was living in a graveyard. He was defeated, and he was unrestrained. And yet it says he was in the tombs crying day and night, he cried. You could listen at night and hear him hollering and crying, cutting himself like a madman. You see, don't you agree with me that he's graveyard dead? No peace would come in his life. And this is what it means today for a person to be outside of Jesus Christ. You're just like this. You're dead spiritually. You're outside of Christ, and you are a miserable soul. And so many people are miserable, and they don't even know it. Why do you think we have so many people that what the world says, man, they had it all, and they killed themselves? They were a miserable soul, weren't they? Having a lot of money does not cure our problems, does it? In a lot of cases, it just makes us have more problems. And you see this happen all the time. Why would somebody have so much and cause so many people to laugh? I think of Robin Williams. Y'all know who he was, don't you? He made everybody laugh, yet inside, he was a miserable person. Why? I believe it's because he didn't know Christ. You see, Christ changes our lives. And not only that, we see a miserable soul, but we also see a mighty Savior. Oh, what a mighty Savior, folks, we have in life. Now, Jesus comes along. Remember, he's just come out of a storm with his disciples, and they step off the boat with his disciples, and this demon-possessed man, Legion, comes running at him. And keep in mind, his disciples were pretty scared, amen? I can imagine they've been out in the boat, and they were about to sink, and they just saw Jesus calm the storm, and now they had just barely gained their composure when this crazy man is running towards them. I see it this way. Jesus is stepping out of the boat, and all of them are getting back in it. They said, man, we don't know if we want any part of this guy or not. I know I might be the same way. And he comes running towards them, and, you know, he's been living in the tombs. He's bloody, he's dirty, he's smelly. I've been around some people like this in different places, and sometimes they couldn't help it because of the conditions they lived in. But their hair was matted, and their clothes were filthy, and, you know, they were just, didn't you just want didn't want to run up and hug their neck, you know? And they probably thought, you know, this is one more nut that's coming towards us, and I can almost see them getting back in the boat. But you know, Jesus didn't. Think about that. He didn't. He's a mighty Savior. Like I said, start out with no case is too hard for our Lord and Savior, and no situation intimidated him. That tells me that he was more than just a man. Folks, he was God, the God-man. Jesus commands the unclean spirit, says, come out of this man. Aren't you glad that Jesus sees us for what we can be instead of what we are? Most people saw this man and didn't want to be around him. But Jesus said, you know, unclean spirit, come out of him. And Jesus takes that unclean spirit and makes that man clean. He takes that empty life, that miserable man, and makes his life full. Jesus sees him as a man and commands the unclean spirit to come out of him. Every problem that this man had, Jesus was the solution. And every problem that we have tonight, no matter what you're facing, Jesus Christ is the solution to that problem. Now, folks, Jesus has all power. And he has the power over the devil. And he has the power over death. Now, think three times in the New Testament, Jesus came in the very presence of death. And three times that death could not stop him. Nothing stays dead in the presence of the living Lord. Think about it. Nothing stays dead in the presence of the living Lord. So we see here a miserable man. We see a mighty Savior. And the last thing I want us to look at, last part of this, and I'm not going to read it all, but we see a marvelous salvation. When Jesus cast out these devils out of Legion, we see a beautiful picture of what salvation does in the life of a person. Now, if you don't have salvation in your life, you need that. You need to come to Jesus. Salvation is a miracle which changes our lives, folks. That's what it does. A changed person has a difference in life. This man was no longer insane. He's in his right mind now. There's nothing, he's not crying anymore. He's not cutting himself anymore. He's sitting there listening just as calm as can be. So you see, salvation changes a life from the inside out. You know, we think sometimes, man, if I can just get a person out of the slums, so to speak, it's a curious problem. But did you know what? You can take a person living under a bridge in the slums, you can take that person and you can clean that person up. And you know what? Most cases, they'll go right back to what they were doing. You have to change a person from the inside out. And that's what Jesus does. He'll get your heart problem solved in the Lord. And he'll begin on the inside of you, and he'll work on the inside and come to the outside. Now, some people think, like I said this morning, you got to get all cleaned up on the outside before you give your life to Jesus. You'll never give your life to Jesus like that. You can't clean up on the outside. It just won't happen. You give your life to Jesus just as you are. I love that old hymn. I don't know who wrote it. Just as I am. You give your life to Jesus just as you are, and he will change your life. That's what it's all about. Jesus changes lives. Now, this demon said, Jesus, send us into the hogs. Give us a second chance. You know, they'd rather be in the hogs. Now, Satan had rather take your life, and he will turn it into a life of a hog. You know, talking about hog, we do a lot of hog hunting. Man, hogs just wallow in, you know, mud. They wallow in filth. They eat just about anything along the line that's dead and dirty. That's the way Satan is. He wants to come into your life, and he wants you to wallow there in your self-pity, and he wants you to ruin your life and the filth of life. That's what he wants in your life. But Jesus wants your life to be changed. Now, I'm wondering tonight, and we'll close, is there anybody here, don't raise your hand or nothing, but just think about it, that's graveyard dead? You're miserable because you've never given your life to Christ. Spiritually, you're dead. Jesus is the last person you normally think about. Where do you turn to when you have a problem? What is your first thought? It ought to be Jesus. When I got a problem, Jesus. Turn to him. If we're sitting there and think, well, you know, I think I can handle it myself, more than likely, you're not trusting Jesus. He ought to be the solution for everything that you do. Is he in your heart? Now, you ought to know that he's in your heart tonight. If you know Jesus, you know he's right here. You got him. Now, I'm not saying you may be on a different level than somebody else. That's not it. But you know that he's in your heart. You've asked him to come into your heart. Then you ought to want to tell somebody about Jesus. Isn't that right? If you find a solution to your problem, wouldn't you want to tell somebody about it? I do. Do you have a heart for the lost people in your life? You see, Jesus did. He said, I came to seek and to save. We ought to have a heart for lost people. That's how you know that you switch from life to death, because Jesus is ruling your life. He's the one you're living for. You know, you may like to do a lot of things, folks, and I'm not saying you can't do those things. Man, Lord knows, you know, y'all know I do a lot of things. But Jesus is the reason for living. And if you don't have Jesus tonight, then you're not really living. You're graveyard dead. Think about it. Do you know Jesus? If not, you have an opportunity tonight to come to him. And you may be saved. I hope you are. And life is not full of joy like it should be. Are you doing what Christ asked you to do? You see, you're not going to have joy until you get into his word. Until you think about what he says. You're not going to have joy until you pray to him. And if you're not praying and you don't, you know, I imagine I'm preaching to the choir tonight because you're here on Sunday night. But you know, you may not be coming every Sunday, the Sunday school Bible study. You know, Bible study is a time for you to grow spiritually with other people. And you ought to be there. And if you're not in a Bible study, maybe that's the reason you don't have the joy. You got to put Christ first in everything in your life. And if you're not putting him first in everything in your life, why don't you just commit your life tonight to him? Say, you know, I want to put Christ first in my life. You'll find the joy. Maybe you have sin in your life and you've done something unpleasing, you just need to confess it. You don't have to confess it to me or anybody else. You just come and kneel at the cross and say, Lord, you know this is in my life, and I want to get rid of it. I confess it. He said, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Lord, again, we thank you for the opportunity to just come into your house. And Lord, we know that many are not here. And Lord, we don't want to judge them or nothing. We just want to pray for them. Lord, give us a call, a vision of what you need for us to do, and let us do it. And Lord, if there's someone here tonight that's never put you in their life, Lord, may they come out of that graveyard of death that they're in into the marvelous light. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.